We are just about to enter into that holiday season. They say it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's also the most stressful time of the year, right? You got traffic and shopping and parties and decorating and traffic, right? I mean, life just puts all kinds of demands on us. Even without the holiday season, we get it year round. I mean, there's so much that comes our way, and a lot of the time we just end up getting drained of our energy and our effort, our enthusiasm. Sometimes we're tired because there's just so many things that demand our attention, so many little things that you got to do. I was talking about that today. Just so many little things that take care of this, take care of that, take care of that. Just little things. Some of them just seem like dumb things, but you got to do them. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's family, there's work, there's school. Those aren't dumb things. I'm just saying. I just want to clarify. Church, that's not. Anyway, housework, projects, ball teams, cars. The list just goes on and on and on. And the old school way to say it is we just got way too many irons in the fire, right? Just too many things all going off on at once. And here's the thing about it is you can't slough it off. I mean, there are expectations that are very real, and there's consequences when you don't meet some of those expectations, right? And we end up just running on empty. Life just takes a toll on us sometimes. And more than just wearing out your body, and more than just pushing yourself emotionally or mentally to the limit, it can drain you spiritually. We end up running on empty. So I want you to hear tonight, we got to refresh, we got to renew and replenish our spirit. We got to not only, you know, do what we got to do to stay healthy. Anybody know what I'm saying? Like, you know, some of us, we just push too hard. And, you know, you got to take care of yourself in the sense of not be foolish. You got to get some rest and, you know, yeah. But not just in that sense, you know. Yeah, you got to take care of yourself, you know, mentally. But even beyond that, oh, how we need to refresh and replenish our soul. Because when we do that, then not only do we stay sane and healthy, but we also end up living with peace and joy, and we overcome. Amen. We have victory in this life. And Jesus is always the best example. I want to remind you, he invites us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'm not going to take very long here tonight. There's a lot there, but I just want you to see this. He says, "Learn from me and you'll find rest for your souls." And so that's what we want to do tonight. We want to look at Jesus' example and learn to find rest for our souls, because Jesus models it for us. He says in verse 30, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." How about you? Is your yoke easy and your burden light? How could he say that? I mean, how was he not absolutely drained just from dealing with people? People putting demands on him all the time. People who opposed him. People who are out to get him. People who falsely accuse him. People that are trying to find a way to tricking him and to trap him. I mean, he's constantly dealing with all kinds of people. How did it not absolutely wear him out? "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And he says we can take his yoke and his burden. I know he was God. He was also a man. And you need to understand this. He got tired, he got hungry, he wept, he felt pain, and yet he accomplished more than all of the rest of humanity in all of history. In his short life, he accomplished more than billions and billions of others. Amazing how he got it all done in spite of the fact that he had such great responsibility and so many demands put upon him. So I think there's something that, you know, with our demands and our responsibilities, you see, we can certainly learn from Jesus how to do this. And you see, at the end of his few short years, he was able to say, "It is finished." In John 17, 4, he prayed to the Father. He said, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." In spite of all the demands, and despite of the tremendous task that he was given, despite of all the needs that were brought to him, despite the opposition and the attacks of Satan, he was able to overcome and finish everything that the Father had given him to do. And get this, he did it all without ever losing it. I mean, he did it all without getting depressed. He did it all without getting discouraged and giving up. He did it all without stressing out. He didn't wear out. He didn't tap out. He just kept going. How did he do it? We're going to get there. We're going to see it. We're going to go to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to work our way through this passage from verse 21 all the way down through 37, but we'll just take a few at a time. Mark 21, 21, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." Now here it is, it's the Sabbath, and Jesus starts teaching in the synagogue, and I just want to tell you that that's enough to drain most of us. Now, if you don't think so, you haven't done it. And if you have done it and you still don't think so, you haven't done it well. Because I want to tell you, when you are really allowing God to use you and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it'll make you tired like nothing else. Listen, I'm just telling you, preaching makes me tired in a way that splitting wood and digging a ditch doesn't make me. Just letting you know. But I'm just telling you, this is not nothing that Jesus goes in and he teaches and being used of the Father that way. In fact, after I preach twice on Sunday morning, I just want to go somewhere and lay down. And if I go out to a restaurant somewhere about 1:30 to 1:45, I'll just be sitting there at the table going. Now, I'm not saying everybody's like that, and I'm sure I'm just kind of wimpy, but I'm just telling you that Jesus is amazing, because when you read the rest of what goes on here, he did it so well, you know. He didn't just kind of do it. He astonished them with his teaching. Then in verse 23, it says, "Now there was a man in their synagogue, one of the unclean spirit. He cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" I think it's interesting that the demon knew who he was, the Holy One of God. There was a whole lot of people that didn't know who he was, but this demon knew, right? But this isn't any ordinary service they were having. He's got to deal with demons right in the middle of the service. Verse 25, "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For the authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee." Just a side note here. It's amazing. They didn't have phones. They didn't have the internet, any kind of modern technology at all. And yet somehow everybody in that whole region heard about it. I just want you to know that when people get excited about the Lord, you can get the word out. How much more should we be able to do that with social media and all the modern technology that we have? So after church, this is what happens next. Verse 29. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. They told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her and she served them. So after church, they go over to Simon and Andrew's house and to get something to eat. And Dr. Jesus makes a house call and heals somebody after he preached twice. That's me. After I preached twice, I told you, I just want to go lay down. Verse 32, at evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew who he was. They knew him. There it is again. So he spends the rest of the evening ministering to people. They are lined up at the door. I mean, he is healing people, casting out devils. He spends the rest of the evening doing this. Amazing. Had to have been tired. Some people think, oh, he didn't get tired. That's not what the Bible says. People need to read the Bible, especially if you're going to talk about Jesus. It amazes me the stuff that people say, even preachers say, that's not in the Bible and not scripturally correct. Jesus got tired. In fact, John chapter 4 and verse 5 tells us that it was because he was tired that he sat down at Jacob's well. He was tired. He got tired. You know, we always talk about Jesus not being concerned about the storm when the disciples are out on the water in the boat and Jesus is asleep in the boat. Yes, he had perfect peace, but I want you to understand something. You got to be some kind of tired to sleep through a storm like that. These were experienced fishermen. They did this for a living, and they are scared that they're going to die. It was so bad. The waves are coming over into the boat. And he's like, he's asleep. Lord, don't you care that we perish? Some kind of tired. But here Jesus, you know, he starts off preaching. Then he deals with these demons. Then he ends up with a big healing service at the end of the day. Quite a day, but not an unusual day for Jesus. He did this day after day. And, you would think after he had a day like that, he would just sleep in the next morning. I know that's what I would do. I'm going to take Monday off, right? And who could fault him for that? In fact, it sounds like a pretty good idea. You know. But here's the thing about that. You see, you can rest the body. You can rest the body, but it takes more than that to replenish your soul and refresh your spirit. It takes more than that. You know, one of the things, I know sometimes it sounds like I'm just down on technology. I'm really not. I just think we need to use it right. Let it be a blessing instead of a curse. But one of the things about modern technology is that, and not even just technology, there's lots of ways where we try to rest ourselves. I mean, old school, go fishing, whatever. I'm just saying, we try to rest ourselves and we give the body rest that way. And sometimes you can kind of rest your mind that way, and especially, you know, like you playing a computer game or something. You can kind of rest your mind watching some mindless TV show, whatever. But here's the thing about that. It still doesn't refresh you inside. You see, it still doesn't restore your soul. We need something more. So here's what Jesus does. We're finally to it, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. He got up way before daylight. Wow, the culture we live in now, most people just think that's insane. He gets up way before daylight, and he goes out to a place all by himself where he could be alone and spend time with his father. He went to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And I want to remind you what Jesus said in Matthew 6:6. He said, when you pray, you go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. See, we got to get alone with our Father. It's so important that we understand this. Why did he get up so early and go to a solitary place? Because that's what it took for him to have time alone with his Father. There were always people putting demands on him, but he's going to have time with his Father. And here's what we need to get from that. You got to do what you got to do to have some time alone with your Father. I mean, if you got to get up at 4 a.m, if you got to leave the house. Hope you don't have to leave the house. But I'm just saying, you got to do what you got to do to have some time alone with your Father. You got to spend some time with Him. Because here's what happens if you don't. You end up running on empty spiritually. And the end result of that is that we're just barely making it. I mean, we're still hanging on, but we're not really living the way that we ought to be living. We're not really being used of God the way we ought to be being used of God. We're not really being the person that we're supposed to be. Because I want to tell you, if we're not filled with the Spirit, if we're not, you know, being refreshed and restored in our soul, we're not going to be in a place where we can really help people, where we can really act the way we're supposed to. I got to tell you, there's times when I just get, what's the right, grumpy? Anybody else? I mean, but here's the thing. You know what that tells me? Not having enough time with the Father. Not refreshing my soul, restoring my soul like I ought to be spending time with the Lord. But I tell you, if you'll make a time and a place for the one thing that you can't do without, you'll end up fulfilling everything that you're supposed to do. I mean, you might not do everything everybody else thinks you're supposed to do, but you'll do what the Father wanted you to do. Let me read it again. John 17:4, Jesus said, I finished the work which you have given me to do. And that's the important thing. Why do you got to be alone? Here's the thing. You can pray anywhere, anytime. You can pray while you're driving your car. You probably should pray while you're driving your car. All right? That's a good thing to do. And, you know, you can pray while you're in the store or while you're doing business. You should. You should pray throughout your day. Did you know this? Jesus certainly prayed throughout his day. He said, I only say what the Father gives me to say. See, I believe Jesus was in constant communication with the Father. Yeah, when he was casting out demons, he was praying. You know, when Jesus is ministering to people, he's praying. When he's walking along with the disciples, he can pray just like you can pray when you're driving your car. But yet, he had a time where he got alone with his Father. And how we think that we can do life without that. I want to tell you, it's substandard at best. Our tendency is just to think we got too much going on to do that. Like you got more to do than Jesus. Verse 36, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." I know some of you moms, you try to get alone for just a few minutes, and somebody's going to come looking for you. Yeah. But they didn't say, "Lord, we know you had a big day yesterday. You must be tired." They didn't say, "Lord, we're sorry that we interrupted your prayer time." They said, "Everybody's looking for you. Like, what are you doing out here? Don't you know there are people that have needs? What are you doing?" And here's what I want to say to you. People will always busy you up until you don't have time for God if you'll allow it. I'm not telling you to cut people out and be mean to people. I'm telling you, though, you got to make this a priority, that you have time with your Father. There were people that needed to be healed and delivered, and he goes out to pray. Jesus didn't run on empty. Neither should we. But you see, that's why Jesus was always ready to do what needed to be done. There was never a time that he didn't have what it took. Think about that. But you see, he took time to be with his Father. And that's why he finished everything he was supposed to do. And I don't think that he went to this prayer time, you know, just with some kind of agenda, like, you know, "Father, here's my list." I think sometimes people do this where they got a to-do list and they try to turn it into God's to-do list. I think Jesus was more intent on having time with his Father than just bringing him his list. I don't think that this was just about, I mean, I don't know. The Bible doesn't really tell us, but I don't think that this was really about him just having a time of intercession for other people. I don't think this was about him tearing down strongholds and, you know, I think he was having time with his Father, fellowship, communion with his Father. And I just want you to understand, you see, we need that kind of refreshing. See, when you're doing spiritual warfare and you're interceding and that's work. And I'm not talking about work right now. I'm talking about rest. I'm talking about where you get rid of your burden. I'm talking about where you get filled up. There needs to be a time we just enjoy our relationship with the Lord. And Jesus wasn't worried about all the people he had ministered to the day before. He wasn't worried about all the people he's going to minister to the next day. He's just spending time with his Father. It was time to replenish and refresh and refuel. Carmen and I were in a big hurry one day and noticed the car was about to run out of gas. So, you know, to keep from being late, I stopped real quick, put in 3 gallons and kept going. Just enough to keep going. That's the way that a lot of us live a lot of the time. Spiritually, we got just enough just to kind of keep going. Oh, how we need to fill up. We need to be full so that, see, then when we interact with people, we got something to give out. You know, when you interact with people, you act like a Christian then. The real kind. The Jesus kind. Amen. When we are alone with him, we sit in his presence. I tell you, it refreshes your spirit. It helps us see the big picture. Helps us renew our strength. Isaiah 40:31, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, I got to tell you, I'm not very good at waiting. I hate waiting. I got to be doing something. And I've heard all kinds of fancy definitions and teachings on this word. But when it's all said and done, this is what it really is. You're waiting on the Lord. You're just in his presence, just waiting on the Lord. And that's where this refreshing, that's where this renewal of strength comes. See, something happens on the inside of you when you just take time to be in the Father's presence and refuel. Refuel. I like to be like one of those jets that, you know, it can fly and they refuel it in the sky without ever having to stop. Wouldn't that be awesome? Doesn't work that way. We got to have time with our Father. And just remember this. You see, I did that teaching on effective prayer, but prayer isn't just about our needs. It's about a relationship. And that's why it's so important that we get alone with the Lord. I mean, we pray over our meals, we pray at church, we pray in the small group. But how intimate can you be with somebody when you're in a group? I'm just telling you, sometimes you just need to be alone with your Father and have time with him. Just be still and know that he's God. It's not about getting your 30 minutes in. What am I supposed to pray about? How long do I have to do it? What if I can't think of anything to say? Now see, if you're asking those questions, you're on the wrong track. Because it's not about any of that. In fact, when you get to the end of your talking, you're just starting to get to the good part, where you just be quiet in his presence. You know, it's not much of a relationship if just one person does all the talking. And I'm not going to teach tonight on hearing the voice of God, but I'm just telling you that first and foremost, you got to get alone in his presence, and you got to be quiet, and you got to listen, you got to wait. It can't be, okay, God, speak to me now. I don't know if that's ever worked for anybody. I know it hasn't worked for me. But sometimes we just need to be still and know that he's God. It's Psalm 46:10, by the way. And be still there. It means to cease from activity. Let him have the opportunity to speak to your heart. You know, we try to take care of the body, and we try to take care of our mental well-being. There's an article in the New York Times that said 1 in 10 Americans are on antidepressants, and that's just antidepressants. You know, there's so many more that are taking Valium or some anti-anxiety medication. And hear me now, see, I've had people get real upset with me before when I talked about this, because they're like, oh, these are real issues, these are serious things. I know. That's why I'm talking about it. I'm telling you, you see, there is a refreshing, a renewal. The Lord can restore your soul. David mentioned it in the 23rd Psalm. He restores my soul. I'm not saying those things aren't real, and I'm not telling anybody to quit taking their medication. What I'm saying is that the Lord can I'm saying you see the evidence. Oh, how we need this, how we need the Lord to restore our soul. But most of us, we don't hardly give him time. And our prayer life is just kind of a duty or a thing that we just go through the motions to get her done. I'm telling you, we need to get alone with our Father and just have some time where we just wait. The amazing thing is, if we take care of the spirit, the body, and the mind are going to be fine. Jesus was always fighting on the front lines. And I'm sure that after those days like that, where he cast out demons and he healed so many people, I'm sure that his body, soul, and spirit were tired. But this is how he refueled: time with the Father. Now you might be saying, oh, my life isn't that bad. You know, I just kind of coast through. Listen, you need to get ready, because there are going to be some days you don't just coast through. And you know what? You'll be ready. You'll be fueled up for those days if you've been spending time with the Father. You know, back at the Gulf War, the American tanks had such superiority over the Iraqi tanks. It wasn't even a fight hardly. But how would you like to be in the best, most well-equipped tank in the world, but out of fuel? And I'm just telling you, as a child of God, you have power over all the power of the enemy. But a lot of the time, we're just running on empty. We need to be prepared for whatever comes our way. The tank is low. I tell you, even the little challenges start getting to you. Instead of being loving and patient and kind, we get grouchy and short-tempered and irritated. See, if we don't refuel, we won't have what other people need. Because what they really need is not me. It's Him. And you see, we got to be filled with Him. Jesus is the source of living water. But He said if we believe in Him, that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And I just want you to understand, yes, Jesus is the source, but we're supposed to have something to give people. We're supposed to be ready to minister to people, to help people, to pray with people. And when you think that you just don't have time to do nothing, it's not nothing. Refueling your spirit's the most important thing you do all day. So, the disciples tell Him, everyone's looking for you. He doesn't go back and minister there. Instead, this is what it says in verse 38 and 39. He said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And He was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. It wasn't that He didn't care about those people, but He got His agenda, His schedule from the Father, not from people. Now I want you to know, this is something that ministers have to know. You get your schedule from the Father, not from people. But it's not just ministers, people in vocational ministry. All of us need to understand this, that ultimately we get our schedule. You know, our priorities are lined up for us by our Father, not just by the squeaky wheel, right? You know, the person that pushes the hardest or yells the loudest. No, we get our direction from our Father. That's the way it's supposed to be. So we run here and there, always trying to put out fires, trying to fix everything, trying to do everything, running on empty. I'm a fix-it guy. I try to fix everything. Cars and toys and plumbing and sound system and relationships and people and church. And I want to fix the economy. Traffic problems. I'd like to fix the Dallas Cowboys. The only thing I don't want to fix is dinner. Thank you, sweetheart. But here's the thing. We're not supposed to fix everything. Do you know Jesus didn't fix everything? But He did everything that the Father had for Him to do. And that's what we got to remember. That's the most important thing. But we won't accomplish that if we don't take time to get alone with our Father. And I just want to encourage you in this. You see, you get alone with the Father and you tell Him, you share your burdens with Him. You get, you know, the things that are weighing heavy on you. You cast the burden of that over on Him. And yes, you talk to Him about your needs. But listen, here's the thing. You may not get some great word from God. It may not be some earth-shaking experience. That's okay. I'm telling you, it will do something on the inside of you. Nonetheless, to just be in the Father's presence and just wait before Him. And you might read your Bible there, and the Holy Spirit may bring some verse to life to you. But I just want to encourage you. This is something that we need to do. And we just need to make it a priority in our life. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. And I just encourage you that whether it's tonight or in the morning, whenever it is, get alone with your Heavenly Father.